This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, I started the broadcast today talking about how Russia and China have broken with the globalists and said, we are not going to depopulate our people. We're not going along with the Great Reset. We can put that headline on back on the screen if we can. And I didn't know that right as we were going live and posting that, Elon Musk had also put out a tweet. We should be much more worried about population collapse. Let me explain the equation. Prager University about a decade ago did the best little video, 4 minute. We got to find that. Prager University on, maybe 8 years ago. Prager University on population collapse. But if you've got a father and a mother, okay, and they only have, on average, 1.3 children in the Western world, the way civilization's set up and all the actuaries, you get a collapse. You need 2.1 or 2.2, depending on the study, just to keep civilization going. They need to have 2.1 children. People go, well, how do you have 2.1? That's on average out of the mass of billions of people. Or say 350 million in America, they've got to have 2.1, 2.2 children to not have society collapse. But instead, we have COVID-19 and the death panels, and we just, what do? We just euthanize them at retirement age. And then we also just have robots take over because we don't have enough human population to continue with the infrastructure. Plus, the humans aren't being trained how to work things or build things or grow things anymore. And so we're being made obsolete through the educational system, which the Carnegie and Rockefeller Endowment said is and was their plan. So that's really where we are. And that's why everything that's done, I call it alien. I don't know if aliens run it. I'm just saying everything is done to hurt our genetics, to hurt our bodies, to hurt our minds, to hurt our intellects. I mean, look at this article. I should have led the show with this because it's such. In fact, I will tomorrow, unless there's a war started or something. But not just a Newsweek or Newsmax article. It's all over the news. Major U.S. airline CEOs warn 5G could ground some planes, wreak havoc. 5G is so powerful, it just knocks off all the gauges. Now, see, those gauges, they pick up that powerful beam. And they say on landing, they've already studied it, it's so strong that it'll just black out the planes when they're at 3,000, 4,000 feet coming in. And the answer of the system is, so what? So even though it's going to crash the planes and shut down society, the system doesn't care because it's a weapon. And they can turn up the 5G and totally block the transmissions and totally block the planes. And the 5G, you can't see because your eyeball isn't designed to see it, but it's the most powerful transmitters on Earth. Doesn't go too far, but where it goes, it blocks out everything. So you've got avionics and you've got other radar and systems trying to send out and get data back, but the 5G bathes the aircraft in so much radiation that it's a jammer. But remember, you complain about 5G, oh, you're a kook, it's no problem, even though 4 years ago, Wired Magazine said, major study, 5G causes cancer. But you don't see them reporting that now because the 5G companies come in and just buy things up. This is a post-human world. They're putting all these different systems in to kill us. And because we're being killed by so many different things at the same time, it's hard to go put your finger on what did it. And that's called a cocktail system. It's beyond a binary weapon where they give you one poison and they hit you with another later. And where my knowledge ends is past the documents and research. But as someone that can easily put 2 plus 2 together, it's not a human force running this rodeo. And there are people that comply with it because then they can conform to the matrix of it. But they're just pretending. I mean, Klaus Schwab sitting around like the James Bond villain and pretending like he runs everything is a joke. All right, Jay Dyer is a great author and researcher and expert on the New World Order, always informative. He's doing Paul's slot today. Paul Watson will be hosting Friday in the fourth hour, and then in 55 minutes, Owen, the Cup Destroyer Scheuer, takes over from our embattled compound in Austin, Texas. Jay Dyer takes over in T-minus 60 seconds. FreeWorldNews.tv, FutureNews.news.
UN-run contact tracers aren't coming. They're here. All over the world, from Australia to the United States, from Canada to Germany. These tyrants are tracking everything you do, everywhere you go, and then coming to your house and threatening, in some cases, actually taking people away into the night to their facilities. And they're planning in the next year to expand their shield process, where they come and take, quote, healthy people away and put them in facilities for their safety. This is nothing less than martial law. And one big thing you can do to fight back is to get high-quality Faraday cages, many of which are made here in America and are very compliant, meaning U.S. government military grade, at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the entire line of Silent Pocket ready to ship to you when you visit InfoWarsStore.com. Again, we have big backpacks. We have special dry bags. We've got them for cell phones. We've got them for laptops. We've got them for iPads. It's all there at InfoWarsStore.com. So protect your privacy today and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today I'm going to be covering a text, as you know, that is one of the global elite texts. We always cover in this final hour some key document that is 100% absolute proof of everything that you hear on this network on a routine basis. And we do that because it's not just something that we try to prove to people. It's also something that helps us understand how long these plans have been in the work and exactly how intricate and detailed this plan for a global technocratic government is, which is now coming into play. I want to look at the 1940 book, which is not very long. It's a relatively short book, but it's put out by one of the most famous authors of all time. You've probably not heard of this book, although I guarantee you, you've heard of most of his other texts. That is the book, The New World Order, by H.G. Wells. If you don't know, of course, H.G. Wells is one of the most famous propagandists in history. Wells was a war propagandist. He drew up posters for World War One, and he basically provided all kinds of propaganda to the Royal Society in his day for the British Imperial, his British Imperial masters to run their imperial propaganda. And so he was kind of the father of this, even before somebody like Bernays. Really, it was in the modern world, it was really H.G. Wells that pioneered propaganda. And I think you guys know what he did most famously was science fiction. And so everybody has probably seen War of the Worlds. You might have even read it. You've probably heard of his books, you know, The Time Machine, The Island of Dr. Moreau, War in the Air, Shape of Things to Come, which predicted World War II, for example. It was only a couple years off, and which shows, by the way, that World War II was planned. But the point is that what we have with H.G. Wells is somebody who was amazingly candid in his nonfiction and also a master propagandist in his fiction. And I don't think that H.G. Wells was a good guy. H.G. Wells was a high-level Freemason, an avowed Marxist, and a man who wanted to, in his own words, completely end the family and to bring in a global socialist technocratic world order. But one thing that's interesting about H.G. Wells is that he wasn't, strictly speaking, your average kind of Marxist. He didn't believe that classical Marxism would be the means by which the technocratic global order would come into reality. Wells believed that it would require the infrastructure and engine and power of monopoly capitalism that would build the infrastructure. And then the technocratic corporate elite would use that infrastructure that was built by global capitalism, monopoly capitalism, to hijack it and then make it the technocratic top-down order. So it would be run by a technocratic scientific elite, and then everything else would be a top-down collectivism with the people on the top basically immune to any of the laws and rules underneath it. And so in the truest sense, you could say that H.G. Wells was an Illuminist. He really did believe in the Illuminati plan in the truest sense of a communistic, socialistic, technocratic order that was not anti-fascist or anti-capitalist. You might say, but every Marxist is anti-capitalist, isn't he? Actually, that's not the case. Do you know that Marx himself did not believe that capitalism was inherently evil? He thought it was a necessary stage on the phase of world history to the final utopia. Marx's end goal of history is actually libertarian. He believes that the state will wither away, and then you will have this basically scientific, you know, utopian world, this Star Trek world, run by computers and technocratic elite. And H.G. Wells had the exact same vision because, in my view, really, the British Empire was kind of headed by these forward-seeking, forward-thinking technocrats. And so the British Empire had a big role in fostering both socialism, communism, democracy, fascism, all of these different 20th century systems that played into those wars. You can read Royal Society thinkers that talk about all those systems as experiments. Bertrand Russell calls Bolshevism a grand, amazing experiment. Initially, early on, he said Stalin is a great thing. This is great to have Stalinism. We need this top-down technocratic control. And really what we find in H.G. Wells is the same type of language and the same type of approbation. Now, they might have disagreed with certain elements of National Socialism. They might have disagreed with certain elements of Stalinism and critical theory Marxism and so forth. But ultimately, remember, the end game of every New World Order proponent, and that's the title of this book, The New World Order, that's where it comes from, written in 1940. And this is not his first book, okay? He had another book that he wrote very similar to this many years earlier, 1928, called The Open Conspiracy. What are we to do with our lives now that we are in the technocratic age? But I wanted to go to this one because it's just so obvious that this is an open admission of international technocratic elites bringing in a global government. H.G. Wells begins the book by saying that, you know, when we look at World War II, when we look at what the National Socialists are up to, and this was written right in 1940, so this is prior to World War II, he says that it's really not a problem in terms of top-down control systems. He says, if we think about a dictator like Hitler, he says it's not Hitler himself that is the problem. It is the nation-state, firewalls to global governments, and individuals that are the problems. And so H.G. Wells was very much a proponent of the idea that there is no individual right. You don't have a right as an individual unless it is given to you. It is doled out to you by the state. So he did not believe, obviously, as a kind of an atheist. I wouldn't say he was an outright atheist because he has another lesser-known book about religion that he speaks of God, the invisible king, whom he says is a Luciferian type of character. He believes in a Luciferian God. Literally, that's what he says in the book. So I think he was a Luciferian, and in his sense, he either believed in an absolute satanic view of Lucifer. I mean, I think Lucifer is a satanic thing, but what would H.G. Wells say? Well, he would probably say, it just represents science and Promethean man, you know, overthrowing, any kind of God or tyranny outside of his own mind. And then he goes on to say that really the reason the world is in crisis, the global elite writers always talk about the crisis, the reason that we're going into this global world war at this time, which is right before World War II, is that we still have nation states and we still have individual rights. So he's pinning the blame for World War II and World War I on the idea of there being nations, of there being firewalls and protective structures against global government on the liberties of individuals, the liberties and rights of people themselves directly from God. He says it's time to have a debate because a new age is coming in as a result of the crises of the global wars. And remember when we read through Dr. Carol Quigley's massive tome, Tragedy and Hope, 1,300 pages, I've lectured through in 8 lectures the entire work. We saw that Quigley admits, as an apologist of this system, as a defender of the system, that the two world wars and the Cold War of the last century were essentially engineered by the power elite, the Anglo-American establishment, he calls it, to bring in the world government. Literally. It was planned out. It was strategized. And a lot of people think that it's just hard to believe that. I can't believe that this is planned out 100, 200 years ago. It's just hard for me to believe. Well, that's why we're looking back at these books from 1940, from 1928, right? To see that what's coming about right now, what you read in Klaus was written in 1928, in 1940 by these people. There's a perfect continuity of ideology, a praxis between H.G. Wells and Klaus Schwab. And I don't even know if Klaus Schwab has read these books. Perhaps he's read these books. But does it even matter if the plan is exactly the same, if they're working for the same structures that are admittedly for over 100 plus years in the Western publications and academic journals and whatnot, admitting to this plan to bring in this government. Now, one of the things you might not have known that Marxists and especially H.G. Wells pioneered was the idea of the green movement, the idea that humans are the problem and that we are wasting the planet and its resources through having too many people, having offspring. This is something that the Royal Society and the Malthusians and especially H.G. Wells was a big fan of enacting these mass reductions in population, which we'll look at here in a minute. That's what he says right away. The very first thing that we have to deal with is massive reduction of population. Now, there you go. You see, and Soylent Green is made from people. There is Charlton Heston telling you right there in that H.G. Wells dystopian type worldview in all of this fiction telling you what's going on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business.
So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were talking about how H.G. Wells was the early proponent of the Green Movement, and how this would be the means by which we could bring in this technocratic global government that even decades before the Club of Rome had put out their book, The First Global Revolution, H.G. Wells was writing books saying, and as the mouthpiece of the Royal Society and the elite power Malthusian power structure of the Anglo-American establishment, that most of the planet would have to go away. There's no other way to save the planet than to kill everybody. He says that we will have to have complete control of biology. This is what he says on page 24 of the book. Complete collective control of economic and biological life is absolutely necessary to bring in this global government. He says if we don't do that, then what we're going to have is a perpetual war, perpetual chaos. And so, in other words, in classic sort of H.G. Wells, or excuse me, in a classic 1984 fashion, in order to save everybody, we must kill everybody. Wells says that politics and political federation, as we've known so far in history in Western civilization, is basically worthless. It will not bring global peace apart from a real profound social revolution. He says that the communists in Russia, that is the Bolshevik Russian Revolution, were very much extremist. But get this, he says that their revolution towards world collectivism was not extreme enough. It did not go far enough. The future final revolution, he says, must go way farther and become much more heroic in its designs to massively depopulate the world. He says that it is important to promote class warfare in the next chapter. Although class warfare isn't really the end goal, because ultimately this is going to be the destruction of the wealth or new wealth to put it into this technocratic system where there is no upward mobility and no wealth at all. There will be, says, the movement from class hate into a rise of police state, because the dialectical structure, the tensions that are engineered on the basis of class hate, back in his day. Now, of course, it's identity politics, racial division, which is fostered by these technocrats on purpose to actually bring in this police state and ultimately this technocratic state. He goes on to say that on page 33 that Lenin and Stalin were great revolutionaries. The work that they did was phenomenal. However, none of these people went far enough. He says that he got to meet with Lenin back in the day in the 1920s. And he said he seemed very nice and he seemed very pleasant. And he, like Bertrand Russell, supports that revolution. But class warfare is just simply not enough. A lot of the Marxists, the classical Marxists, the revolutionaries of that day, he says, they totally miss and understand the long-term goal of technocracy. They totally miss the fact that this is not about you bettering supposedly your paycheck, right? A revolution of the workers or whatever. He says this is a revolution that's about technocracy and complete control of biology. What did Klaus Schwab say multiple times? We will get inside your body. We will control and change your biology. I covered last week the technocratic document, the transhumanist Ministry of Defense human augmentation document, which says synthetic biology will mean the changing of your biology to make you into a human platform. You're going to be a walking router, a walking modem. That's all you are. You're going to receive the signals of the system and emit the signals of the system. Wells goes on to say that there's nothing wrong with Stalin. Stalin's a great guy. He says that really the way to understand the world is to understand it as a zoo. The world is like a human zoo. Nation states, these are like different sections of the zoo. Those nations over here, oh, that's the elephant exhibit, right? When you keep them in their cages, you keep them in their little animal farm or in their zoo or in their lab. He says these are all fine analogies for actually understanding the technocratic view of the world order. The technocrat looks at the world and says, I am elite and special because I have my lab coat and because I got my magical science juice beakers bubbling behind me, and that makes me great and special because I went to the university and was brainwashed, and I have a actually midwit level IQ, so actually I'm part of the elite, and because I'm a psychopath and I want to kill everybody, I'm elite. And H.G. Wells says that that's who runs the New World Order, scientific technocrats, and they view the world like a farm, like a zoo, and like a lab. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mr. Fauci, exactly. He says that the first thing that we're going to have to do is indoctrinate the youth. Interesting. These technocratic individuals always know to corrupt the youth. Because they, again, are themselves essentially control freaks, and they know that the best way to do this is to infect the youth with toxic ideologies, infect them with the idea that population is itself the problem. Don't have kids, don't have offspring, live in your pod, etc. All of that is was said 100 years ago. And he even says that we're going to have to divide people into generations and give them different attitudes to set them off against other generations, right? Millennials, zennials, all this kind of stuff. He says that this will lead to the decline of the West. Wait a minute. Why would the elite want the decline of the West? Because they don't care about the West. They don't care about prosperity. They don't want prosperity. I don't understand. People can't understand that there's a class of individuals at the top, the technocratic elite, that do not want to simply make money. They don't care about making money. They have the control of the Fed printing press. They don't need money. They want something much grander than that, which is control of all life. Control of biology. That's what H.G. Wells just said in this book almost 100 years ago, 80 years ago. Wells says that once we capture the minds of the youth, like the Maoist youth revolutions, we can just steer the youth as we want. And who can fail to see that that is what has happened at a much more sophisticated scientific level today, that the youth are steered and controlled into adopting basically the most self-destructive and nihilistic philosophies and beliefs. Wells says that whether you look at FDR in the U.S. or whether you look at Stalin in Russia in that day, he says that the creation of the welfare state, the creation of the Stalinist state, all of these things, he says, are perfectly in line with what I want to see as a technocrat. Now, that doesn't mean everything in those systems went perfectly according to what H.G. Wells wanted, but he says that these are experiments and models that are perfectly enacting the kinds of things that I want to see on the way towards the final revolution. What is the final revolution? We know that this is talked about in Aldous Huxley's essay, which is the introduction to Brave New World. We know that this is talked about in Bertrand Russell's writings. Well, he says that the real meaning of this is that all of the revolutions of the last several centuries, we think about the French Revolution, we think about the Republican and Democratic revolutions of the 1800s that overthrew the monarchies, we think about even the American Revolution, according to H.G. Wells, right? Even the Bolshevik Revolution. All the revolutions, he says, are one revolution. Now, I'm not saying they're literally identical, but they're one revolution towards the same goal. And he says that that one goal is the technocratic, internationalist, global, elite world order. And he says that, again, the Bolsheviks didn't do enough. They didn't kill enough people, because to bring this in is going to require killing everybody, almost. Literally, he says, most people are going to have to die. And all of his compatriots said the same thing. Bertrand Russell says the same thing. Huxley says the same thing. All the Huxleys, all the brothers, they all said this. And most people are going to have to die because most people are not fit to go into the scientific future order. When we come back, we're going to see what he says is the number one thing in the way. Don't go.
Back in stock, down and out liquid sleep support. It's been out of stock for a while. It's one of three sleep aids we have at InfoWarsStore.com. This one has been very popular. It sold off the shelves. It's back in stock. Down and Out Liquid Sleep Support. This is probably the strongest sleep aid that we have, I would say. Knockout, Rocket Rest, both great. Comes in pill form. This is the liquid tincture, and I think this is probably the most powerful one. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine. This is, if you haven't done an iodine challenge yet, if you haven't done the iodine challenge, what are you waiting for? Now is the time. Super Male and Super Female Vitality. Living Defense Plus and the Organic Greens Fiber Caps. We have a limited supply of these right now, but we want to sell them all out so we can order a new batch. It was very popular. The Organic Greens Fiber Caps. But we have all kinds of other great supplements that are great for so many different things. Take advantage of those.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The Alex Jones Show, your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and we were working our way through The New World Order by H.G. Wells, and we were talking about the technocracy being planned a long time ago, and Wells noting that a couple of the things that were standing in the way are the notions of liberties, the notion of individual rights that don't become essentially malleable or created by the state, something that you have inherently by divine right, by being made in the image of God. Wells says that that needs to go away. And he talks about the fact that it doesn't really matter whether the collectivism that we bring in is something from a Bolshevik, socialist, or communist model, because ultimately he says these all can give way to the end goal of technocracy. And he says whatever works is really the best system, whatever works to bring in technocracy, to bring in the top-down control. So this is why we can begin to see that things like the Cold War, while they were definitely real on the ground with different Eastern, Western spies and doing all this kind of stuff, people like H.G. Wells at the top were cheering on the communist Marxist revolution. People who are the most famous proponents of the ideas of, you know, the elite Western establishment have always supported communism and Marxism. The wealthiest people in the West funded, supported, and fostered communism and Marxism pretty consistently in the 20th century. And so the point is that it doesn't matter whether it's monopoly capitalism or whether it's socialist Marxism. Both of those systems are atheistic, materialistic systems fostered and funded by these people. And H.G. Wells is the mouthpiece of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the West of the 20th century. And just like David Rockefeller, some 50, 60 years later after this, they both can say, I love Marxism. I love socialism. I love technocracy. I love fascism, they say. They don't have a problem with any of those systems, because just like Mr. Green in James Bond, Quantum of Solace, the villain there, Mr. Green says, I don't care whether you're a nationalist, whether you're a socialist, whether you're a Marxist, whether you're a communist, as long as you can get things done and bring about my consolidation of power, I support you. He says, we as a secret international specter group will work with any of those people to achieve our ends. So Marx goes on to say that the problem that stands in the way of this world government, this technocratic order, is Christianity. Isn't it funny that they always pick that religion? Like, why is that the religion that is the one that is the most problematic for this satanic, demonic system? And he calls it Luciferian. Make no joke about it. In the book, God the Invisible King, which is not the Christian God, it's this other secret deity that he worships in his lodge, he says that the real deity is Lucifer. And what's in the way of this progress of killing everybody and bringing in this this global technocratic order is the idea that individuals have rights and we can't just kill everybody. Then he goes into talking about more things that were kind of applicable to his time, like the New Deal and how the New Deal was part of the Marxist socialist plan. He then says that things like the creation of the European Union will be instrumental to the integration of all the continents into their own continental unions. And that's just a step on the way to the long goal of the technocratic global federation. He goes on to say that the bringing into this new world order will be something beyond the League of Nations. So he talks about how the League of Nations in his day, right, this is created as a result of World War One. He says the League of Nations totally failed because they didn't have the power to enforce the technocratic global order. He says that in the future, and this is prior to the creation of the United Nations, he basically predicts the creation of the United Nations. He says that the next thing that will come about, hopefully it will be able to create the worldwide collective. The worldwide collective. Yeah, that's his words. And he says that we have to bring in collectivism. He says that the notion of traditional religion, the notion of any of these ideas that don't bring about the French revolutionary collectivist idea are anathema. They have to be destroyed. They are the enemy. He mentions the French revolutionaries as a model. He says they were the true radicals. Bolsheviks didn't even go far enough. The French revolutionaries went far enough. Of course, they, through the Committee of Public Safety, would behead tens of thousands of people in the French Revolution. But hey, that's what you got to do to bring in the New World Order and save the planet. I'm just trying to, do you understand that this is not some random sci-fi writer? This is not some fringe lunatic. This is the most important propagandist of the 20th century. More important than Edward Bernays. Almost everybody in the world has probably, to most people in the world, have probably heard of some science fiction novel that H.G. Wells wrote. And H.G. Wells is so famous and so popular, he's known as the father of science fiction, him and Jules Verne. How many people have watched the movie World Worlds, Spielberg's World Worlds, right? How many people have watched
anything, just anything to do with sci-fi, you can't escape H.G. Wells. And what H.G. Wells figured out was that he could condition way more people through fiction than he could through these boring global fact books, right? These propaganda books that were just factual. Nobody's going to read this, right? That's why nobody knows that H.G. Wells wrote this book. You don't read this in college. Okay? When you go to college, nobody reads H.G. Wells' plans. Nobody reads Carol Quigley. So when I was doing my graduate work, when I was studying these topics in grad school, I went to my decent-sized university. We had a pretty good graduate school program for research. And I went into the basement of the library because I was working as a research assistant. And I was like, you know, I'm curious. I want to see, because we have a copy of Tragedy and Hope. I noticed it was on the database, the card file or whatever. And so I went down the basement and I found it. And I noticed that one person, one professor in 20, 30 years since the book had been there had checked it out. So the average university setting, okay, they don't know that this is the way the world works. Even high level university professors, I would talk to my professors about this. I would take Tragedy and Hope to class. I would bring these books up. I would bring these books into class and bring them up. They never read these things. So what I'm getting at is that to understand the things that we're talking about today, I'm not trying to toot my own horn or say that I'm awesome or anything. I'm just saying that it's a fact that you got to get up to like the Brzezinski level of people, the Kissinger level, the Jacques Attali level, before you meet people and talk to people who have read this swath of information. Now, you got to read a Brzezinski because Brzezinski, he writes and talks about these kinds of books. You know, Brzezinski cites Anthony Sutton in between two ages. So he was reading these other books and reading these geopolitical tomes. But even most professors don't read this stuff. They don't know that. Most professors, just like politicians, are trapped in some low-level dialectic of I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative. They don't know anything about this stuff. They don't know what the Royal Society talks about. They don't know. They haven't read. You might have a philosophy professor. He's read Bertrand Russell. Okay, but what did he read from Bertrand Russell? He read The History of Philosophy. He didn't read Bertrand Russell's Scientific Outlook, the Impact of Science on Society. He doesn't know about the history of Malthus and eugenics or any of that stuff. And I know because I went and I argued and debated with all the professors at the university. And none of them knew about this stuff. Maybe one had heard of this stuff. So I'm just trying to stress to you that you could go find these books and look and see yourself. Even if you don't want to read them, you don't have time, you can go see that these books exist. They are the case. I'm not making them up. They are real. They do exist, you see. I didn't just pull this out of my butt. They're real books. And they show you that they're telling you that this is a 100-year plan. So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you don't want to face reality, it's only hurting you. It's not hurting, you're not getting back at me, you're not getting back at other people, the evil anti-vaxxers, all this kind of stuff. You're not hurting them, it's only hurting you. And this guy says, you need to die. 90-95% of people need to die because they're not going to go into the future. It's a cult, it's a death cult, it really is. So H.G. Wells goes on to say that Marxism is not good enough. Marxism is not going to get us there. All we got to do, and he talks about how dumb the Marxists are, right? So even he understood that your average Marxist, your average professor, they're idiots. They don't know. They're unrealistic. So what's the real plan, and why is Marxism not really useful? We'll find out when we come back.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. Moving through the H.G. Wells New World Order book, this plan, this propaganda piece from 1940 about how to instantiate, how to bring about, how to revolutionize the world as a strategy to create a global technocratic world government. He says that the youth will have to keep at their praxis of revolution. And he says, eventually, if we keep at this, if we do really well, he says that the USA will be transformed from what it is presently to a Fabian socialist power. And if you don't know, the Fabian socialist model, of course, is the slow, the turtle model of how to bring in socialism. Rather than a top-down boot tyranny right away, this is a more subtle technocratic model of manipulating people through wars, through many, many decades to accept long-term goals that people can't accept right away. What better example than the last 2 years to see how emergencies, faux emergencies, made up, invented, emerged, crisis, scares the crap out of everybody, and they go along out of fear. That's exactly what H.G. Wells is talking about, except he's saying that that it's key to destroy the United States from within through subversion, not with classical Marxism, but with gradual implementation of socialist, technocratic, get everybody on the dole strategies, liberalism, atheism, the destruction of the existing order to bring in the new order. And he says that all that's needed to do this is to keep fomenting tension, division, strife, chaos, attack the traditional structures, get rid of the existing religious ideas of God and so forth, and even to the point of abolishing notions like the death penalty. You might think, well, he's just a peace-loving pacifist. No, he's not. This is a guy who says everybody needs to die. Do you think that he wants to abolish the death penalty because he is a peace-loving hippie? No. He wants to get rid of the death penalty because it's a social engineering warfare strategy that emaciates a society. I'm not saying the death penalty isn't abused or that it's not, in some cases, done, you know, unfairly or wrong, of course. But we don't operate on the basis of the fact that sometimes something is abused that we get rid of it, right? Does sometimes a husband beat his wife? Sure. Oh, I guess we need to get rid of all husbands and all fathers because one guy has abused somebody. No, that's ridiculous. That's the inverted, weird, creepo logic of liberalism, right? The victim status gets to dictate everything, which is completely irrational, on the basis of the fact that sometimes there's an abuse. And obviously that doesn't work. You can't make the anomaly the norm or the abuse the norm. Because all that does is revolutionize and destroy the structures of society. And that's a strategy. So people don't understand that warfare is very sophisticated, especially in the 20th century. And it extends beyond things like fun with swords and knives and tanks. Warfare is economic. It's social. It's cultural. It's political. It's linguistic. War on language, war on truth, war on meaning, war on life. All these areas, war on biology, are part of the world in which we inhabit now, where everything is under the purview of being weaponized and turned into a weapon. Gender is now weaponized, right? Not gender itself, but what they're doing with this made-up nonsense, which is all part of what he says, you see. It's all part of a strategy. Not of Russia, not of some other country, but of the technocratic elite who want to manipulate, just like they did in the world wars of the last century and just like they did in the Cold War, a new war between the U.S. and Eurasia. Have you read 1984? 1984 is all about fake, made-up villains and manipulated wars that may not even be real. Okay. Now, I'm not saying there's not a real threat of the global elites bringing about a war with Russia or China. They do want that because they're crazy. They're impelled by a demonic power and force, which they're subservient to. The same force that he talks about that he calls Lucifer. H.G. Wells goes on to say that the goal is internationalism, and internationalism requires a revolution in three key areas. Three key areas. One of those is the social realm. To promote the eradication of the idea of an individual or the individual having meaning, or the individual having any power on his own. So disempower and atomize, he says. There's socialization. And he says that another key area, this is back in, again, in the 40s, so not everything then is relevant now, but you can see that what he talked about then was actually pretty successful in the succeeding decades. He says that the number two area would have to be law. Revolutionize law, the notion of rights, common law, all this kind of stuff. You get the eventually the promotion of things like legal positivism. The destruction of courts and law was key, according to H.G. Wells. Then he says education and knowledge have to be destroyed. Wow. Knowledge itself, he says, has to be destroyed. And if you read the socialists who were actually the progenitors of American education, John Dewey, Horace Mann, they say the exact same thing as H.G. Wells. They say that we got to get rid of this idea of reading, writing, arithmetic, and that education has the goal of giving people the ability to learn. Teaching individuals how to learn for themselves. That's what education used to be. You're not going there to learn a bunch of facts that you repeat. You're learning how to better learn yourself. That's what research, that's what education was supposed to be. That's classical education. H.G. Wells says that education must undergo a revolution such that the universities and the schools become centers of indoctrination and brainwashing. Well, I wonder if that's happened. It has, if you don't know. He says that what we're going to bring then is a completely quantified and rational world order. And that's what technocracy is. That is, I mean, it sounds good on paper. Well, don't you want to be reasonable? Wouldn't you want to be governed by rational principles? Yeah, but that doesn't mean what you think it means. It means whatever they say. It means it's rational to kill everybody. That's their view, you see. So what is rational is what the scientism devotees say is rational. That's it. It doesn't actually mean submitting to, yeah, exactly. That's what they think is rational. Then he goes on to talk about how fear will be key to bringing this in. Fear of the threats and dangers of fabled enemies will bring in the collectivization. If we can damage the idea of individual rights, of individual nations, of individuals, of firewalls, of families enough, then we can bring in the technocratic world order. And that's why Ishii Wall says that one of the number one things on the chopping block that has to go is the family. Because what is the family but the promulgation of fascism and hierarchy, according to him? I'm not joking. That's what these people say. The idea of a father as a father figure has to be destroyed, and they do it through the implementation of the oppression narrative, that the existence of a father is a fascist, oppressive narrative, thus the power of feminism. And H.G. Wells was a big, big, big feminist. He was 100% pro-feminist, just like Plato, whom he was a big fan of. If you didn't know that, yes, Plato was an archetypal feminist. And so he says that we'll have to utilize the strategy and techniques of the Fabian socialist technocratic strategies to eventually erode the West and erode the USA and erode what it is to be man. The idea of man has to change. Man can't be man in the abstract or a metaphysical religious idea of man or what man is. Because if God exists, right, then we know that man has meaning by virtue of the worldview where you're a theist, where God exists. You're made in the image of God. So the moral law, right, comes from God, comes from being made in the image of God. So there's right and wrong on that basis in that worldview. But H.G. Wells says that we're going to have to not just get rid of the idea of God, but get rid of the idea of what man is, changing images of man. Another global elite white paper written exactly in conformity with this document, the Stanford Research document written by another one of the top elites, Wallace Harmon, changing images of man. If we can change and engineer man to see man as the enemy, to see rights as his problem, to see the environment and the existence of other of the population being the problem, then we will win because man will turn on man. Man will depopulate man. Right now, at this time, yes, he even talked about, as Bertrand Russell did, maybe we just need more world wars or gigantic bio warfare to go on. He says we need a new plague or some kind of bio release. Yes, Bertrand Russell actually says that we need an impact on society. He says we need another giant death, black death, or bio release to massively reduce the population. So what you're seeing today, what they're doing now, was talked about 100 years ago again. At the end of the book, he says countless will die to bring in this new world order. But he says it's sad, unfortunately, that we have to do that. I'm so sorry, but we have to do it. There's no other way to bring in the utopia. And he sells it as a utopia. He says it's going to be Star Trek. You're going to be flying around. Well, you won't, but they will be flying around in spaceships. And isn't it better to die for something than nothing?
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.